ça, c'est n'est pas bien.
That's really neat. I like how you, of course, it works well into my talk too and more. But the text where they added all the classical quotes, les cites classiques, quelle année, what year was that text?
Dans quelle année a-t-il ajouté les textes poétiques?
1720 ou pour ça. À quelle année?
Il
n'a pas une date, les manuscrits, mais le compilateur, c'est de la première moitié du 16e siècle.
You said it's not dated, but it's from the first half of the 16th, the 15th century.
Oh, okay. Ah, pero estoy hablando en español, además, ¿no?
No.
¿He contestado en español o en francés?
En francés.
The manuscript that the color from Kissit, John Wales, est très intéressant parce que il dit
est abrévié vite.
Oui.
Thomas. Sí, sí. Mais c'est le même colophon et l'arsenal. Un manuscrit de l'arsenal. Je crois, hein? Sí, ¿no? Sí, sí.
Sí, posible que esa versión es regional.
¿Eh? Regional.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Y los otros, ah, bon, es italiano, porque yo pienso que Rubio es el monasterio de Rubio, peut-être une lecture. C'était un important monastère à l'Italie, Rubio. C'est possible.
It's very precise to say he finished it and shortened it.
Non, ce n'est pas ça qui est comme l'arsenal. L'arsenal, c'est celle qui dit c'est Scolari et non Sophia.
Oh. It says he shortened it? Mm-hmm. And so
he shortened it and finished it?
That's right. But then how do we understand all of his work with the other 12th century Florilegia and his notes and his editions? So he's removing, he's paring away a lot and then also bringing in new material? Which seems fine, it's just his question.
Well, it almost suggests that, I mean, the Gniloquium is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It may be suggesting that he took the Gniloquium, shortened it,
yes,
and added more things to finish it.
But then there'd be a lot of matches. There'd have to be a lot of matches then with the Gniloquium, right? If he's going to use that as a base.
So far, it's very scant.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe also rearranged it, because it's the Gniloquium has a quite different structure.
The Gniloquium.
Yeah.
On pourrait consulter des manuscrits italiens parce que Hernando Colom. Il avait fait beaucoup d'achats à l'Italie.
C'est une caractéristique aussi de...
Une surprise pour toi. Un cadeau. Pour toi.
Prochaine chose.
Donc, vous avez indiqué que quelqu'un a pris l'information d'une édition imprimée de Lyon. Donc l'image que vous avez.
J'ai mis celle de Lyon parce que c'est celle qu'il y a à l'université Complutense. Mais c'est pas, je dis, tous les Français sont postérieurs à l'époque de la seconde moitié des Français qui présentent les numérotés, les citations numérotées. Et alors, c'est nécessaire qu'il utilise. Cristóbal García j'ai dû lisser une édition d'Anvers.
Ah, d'Anvers. C'est l'image que vous avez utilisée.
C'est la même, presque.
Oui.
C'est
le même imprimeur qui, une ou deux décades plus tard, a ajouté beaucoup avec Thibaut Payen.
C'est Thibaut Payen.
Oui,
mais ça encore. plus postérieure. Si, Thibaut Payen. J'avais un paragraphe, mais pour abréger, je ne le dis pas.
Merci.
J'avais une toute petite question. Est-ce qu'on est retourné encore sur la question de la, ce qu'on appelle la transmission combinée du Manipulus Florum? Est-ce qu'on a des lignes aussi de transmission du texte avec d'autres textes qu'on puisse identifier ou pas? Donc, c'est que les Allemands appellent la Witüberlieferung. Donc, si le Manipulus Florum rentre dans certaines typologies d'anthologie qui sont plus ou moins fixes au fil du temps, si on a étudié cet aspect de la transmission manuscrite. Should I say in English?
Mais bon, j'ai vu que. Il y a certains manuscrits qui ont une citation et d'autres citations. Et par exemple, à Eloquentia, on ne commence pas de la même manière que les manuscrits d'autres. C'est une citation de Platon, la première, dans quelques manuscrits. Et dans d'autres, non, par exemple. Et moi, je pense que c'est partout. Et c'est très probable. C'est une transmission ouverte, pas fermée. Et alors, on sélectionne, je crois.
La question était un petit peu différente. C'est-à-dire, une des typologies de recherche sur les transmissions manuscrites extrêmement amples. Concerne la possibilité de regrouper les manuscrits, les manuscrits dans des groupes d'anthologies à transmission fixe. Donc dire, il y a le Manipulus Florum, par exemple, avec cette typologie d'œuvres, juste par hasard, la légende dorée, ou Manipulus Florum plus je sais pas, John Wells. Wells. Est-ce que cette typologie d'études a été faite parce que ce n'était pas un des points sur lesquels Richard et Mary Rouse ont beaucoup insisté. Mais je trouve que pour d'autres œuvres, surtout pour des œuvres qui ont une transmission très compliquée à reconstruire, l'étude du contenu du manuscrit et donc des textes de nature centrale et des textes d'accompagnement jouent un rôle important. Est-ce que ça était... Et vous l'avez justement souligné en montrant l'exemple de la transmission avec la Legenda Aurea et avec Thomas. Est-ce que cette étude a été menée?
I lost it.
Okay, sorry. I try to repeat it in passable English. One of the most intriguing are a kind, a type of research people have done in recent years on manuscript traditions concern the so-called combined tradition. So you examine manuscripts preserving one work, especially if the work has a lot of manuscripts. It's preserved in a lot of manuscripts, okay? You don't just make a list of all witnesses, but you study what you find in this manuscript. So in a way that you can see if there are traditions, combinations of texts. And my question was, this is especially important for technical texts, for theological texts as well, or philosophical texts as well, for Corpus Aristotelicum, for instance. And this kind of work, which the Germans call the Mittelüberlieferung, I don't think it's possible to translate it into English in a transmission combinée or a combined tradition. Okay. Has this kind of work been done for the Manipulus Florum? This was because I think it's an intriguing part of the manuscript, the work on manuscript. Not just looking at the content, or looking at what is preserved, but also looking at what is the context, if you have central text, satellite text all around. And this is also something you can combine with different internal features of the text. So same combination, same kind of text, the same family of manuscripts, and say something in the end. Okay, that was my question. It has been done, it will be fine.
Well, I, as far as determining the manuscript corpus and its vicissitudes, I followed the Russes without question.
Mm-hmm. Because the Russes haven't touched this.
How often do you have other texts with the Manipulus form? Is it so large that it needs its own volume?
Oh, you mean other contents?
Yes.
Well, the one manuscript.
Que la légende d'Ore, c'était le principal.
Oui.
Et quand le principal, c'est les Manipulus, on ne peut pas mettre de 500 ans.
Oui, mais dans ce cas, le Manipulus Florum joue, pour ainsi dire, le rôle central dans les manuscrits et il y a des textes d'accompagnement.
Je crois que c'est parce qu'en Espagne, il y a d'autres abréviations que je ne peux pas parler, mais il y a au moins 3 abréviations. C'est plus facile abrévier et d'utiliser à la carte.
Oui,
c'est matin, on l'a dit, on utilise je crois, pour une vision ou une autre vision du même concept, non? De ça, je crois. Alors, je crois que c'est plus important, mais sinon, il y a des abréviations. Mais il va accompagner de beaucoup.
Oui.
Il ne peut pas aller.
Non, mais c'est exactement, c'est ça aussi que c'est une information importante.
Si,
c'est abrégé et en même temps accompagné par d'autres textes, ça donne des informations sur la transmission du texte.
Même quand ça commence déjà abrégé, si ça existe pendant 15 années, en total,
exactly.
Et après, c'est abrégé avec la légende dorée et tout ça.
Mm-hmm.
Et quand on commence ça, avec quel texte, c'est intéressant. Et je voulais savoir aussi, peut-être je vais prendre en anglais, pour John of Wales, I'm curious, now that we've got more mentions of John of Wales it seems that one of the big fruits of the colloquium is that kind of really sort of think carefully about John of Wales, and it's a serious player in this whole project, but there's a lot of kind of unresolved mysteries here. One question, and this may be totally off base, but it also may, it's just a suggestion. Francisca, do the manuscripts that mention John of Wales as an important figure in the composition of the Manipulus Form have any Franciscan provenance or even mendicant provenance? Yeah. And if we can look at the history of those manuscripts and say, well, these all have spent time in mendicant houses, it seems quite convenient that they're attributing one of their members to this important text that's now being, so now you have a Franciscan's name attached to a secular mass. It may be totally off base, but at least something
that's worth a look, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the appendix in the Rouse's book on the manuscript, they catalog every manuscript and show you all the other texts that accompany it. In those which have more than just that.
So it's there in the Rouse's piece.
And often it was part of their argument for this being for preachers, because it's with model sermon collections, it's with Arcadius Bardicondi, it's with the sort of thing. So people thought that it would be a good thing to put together with preaching materials in many cases.
I'm not a skilled paleographer as you are, but there is one problem in... No! I do my best. I do my best to teach something serious and coherent. But there is one problem, or at least I face this problem. There is one issue with so-called mendicant provenance, is that you can't do like for instance, Benedictine or Cistercians, where you have scriptoria working in loco, surplus, to produce manuscripts. The way, the technique of acquisition, think, you know much better than myself, the technique of acquisitions of manuscripts for mendicant orders, so Franciscan and Dominicans, is much more extended and varied. So you can't say, okay, this is a Franciscan manuscript, and it means that this text had a meaning for. For example, one of the worst way to read this catalog of Franciscan manuscript from Naples, made by Cenci, by Giuseppe Cenci, is to misinterpret his idea of Franciscan manuscripts. His idea is extremely general. It says at a certain point of its life or its story, the manuscript XY came to a Franciscan foundation, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it was either used or produced or read or whatever. It's just a decay sometimes. So some people misunderstand that and say, oh, there's a huge collection of these works among Franciscans. That doesn't necessarily mean that.
No. Yeah, I'd be curious about that early, basically when the attribution is getting established, right in those early years, when it gets affixed, because
yes.
It starts quite early.
Yes.
You know, just wondering, what are the key manuscripts here that report this? Can we find out anything by looking at those manuscripts? Specifically,
also report the problems for every manuscript, the way everything they do is in that register.
In that case, I think one of the nice thing to do, I wonder if it has been done extensively for the Manipulus Florum, is to look at the same time at preserved manuscripts and catalog. Library catalogs from the Middle Ages to see when it starts coming into or being acquired in by medieval libraries, and then you can sort of say you can make a sort of connection between mechanisms of acquisitions and mechanism of diffusion of the text But I wonder if it has been done.
Sounds like a huge project.
This is awful. No, it's not huge. It's awful.
I mean, the basis is there for someone to pick up and carry it forward, for sure. Someone else.
It's tough because some of the library catalogs haven't been transcribed yet. So.
No, of course. It's exactly, and it's a huge documentation. So when I see the so-called fichier Vernet in at IRHT, I'm scared. As a whole, two walls covered with boxes, fishes, and each of which is one library catalog or parts of a library catalog. I don't really want to think about.
Do we have any questions? No? After this? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a reception awaiting us in the Veritas Cafe, aptly named for people who are committed to Veritas. I did want to say two more things before we go offline. And perhaps I'll just come around to the microphone a little closer. To say that here I am appearing. That there were a couple more thank yous I wanted to issue. I didn't write down my welcome or off the top of my head, and so I forget. But I wanted to thank the office staff in the History and Medieval Studies office for all their help in the organization, to Colleen Ginn and to Cindy Wieg as well. I also wanted to point out that the colloquium is celebrating the 35th anniversary of the publication of Grouse's book, which is something that I want to include in the acknowledgments to the book, to the proceedings from the colloquium, that is a festschrift of sorts. So with that, I think we relax with food and drink, and thank you all so much for coming, for participating.
And thank you.